restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Passion Translation translates that part of the verse and says, that's where he restores and revives my soul. And I'll tell you what, if we are ever a people that need restoration and revival, I think it's now. I think 2018. How many of you were here the New Year's Eve service when we declared about our year that was coming up? And many of us declared 2018 is my year of restoration. And then Pastor Bagwell came in and preached that phenomenal message about restoration. And I truly believe that 2018 is a year of restoration. And part of that is soul restoration. He restores my soul. You know, I'm not very technically savvy, and I've never claimed to be. But fortunately, I don't have to be. There's many people that are. But I just recently purchased one of those new Instant Pots. It's kind of like a pressure cooker, crock pot. Some of the ladies know what I'm talking about. And, you know, there's so many settings that are on that thing. You know, you can press this. You can program times. You can do all this thing. But I'll tell you what the setting that I was the most grateful for. And that's after you've made a big mess of it and you've got it all messed up and you don't know what else to do. There's a setting. When you press a button, it says return to the factory. Settings, return to the original settings. And you know, as I was meditating and praying about this message about restoration of the soul, really felt like the Lord said, you can compare it to going back in your life to what I originally designated you to be. Before the power of sin came in, before evil got in, before trauma and many situations came in to wound your soul, to damage your emotions, to bring wrong thinking patterns in, I'm taking you back to what I originally created you to be. I'm returning you back to that place. And you know, I'm just declaring today that I'm believing that this is the year for our souls to be restored. So before we even delve into this, let's pause a minute and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you that you have made every provision for us already. Lord, you've sent your Son to die for us. Lord, you've given us your word. You shed your blood. You sent us your Holy Spirit. Lord, you have absolutely made a way where there seems to be no way. Lord, you are our breaker that breaks through for us. And so, Lord, I declare today and ask you, Lord, that today would be a day of breakthrough. Breaker, breakthrough for us. Go to those places in our hearts and in our lives where we've been unable to get the victory. And Lord, I declare that today is our day of soul restoration. Today is the day that we will receive what you wanted us to have. Today is the day that you are returning us to your original design. Your restoration is here, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. How many of you know that we are three parts? We are body, soul, and spirit. When you get saved, when you invite the Spirit of God to come into your life, he comes in and he makes you a new creation. But he comes in into your spirit man. Now, many times we think, well, I'm saved, but unfortunately, I still see the same thoughts, many of the wrong thinking patterns, many habits. Many things have not been instantly transformed like my spirit man was. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God of peace and harmony set you apart, making you completely holy, and may your entire being, spirit, soul, and body, be kept completely flawless in the appearing of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. When we receive Christ, we're a new creation. We become new in our spirit, but our soul man, and what I'm talking about when I talk about our soul, is our mind, our wills, and our emotions. They still need healing. Let me pause right here and just say that at the end of last year, I read a phenomenal book, and it's called Healing the Wounded Soul, and it's by Katie Sousa. And so much of what I'm going to talk about today, I want to give her credit because I've been digesting that and living that message actually since the end of last year. And if I were to be very, very honest, I knew that I was going to have to preach it, But that's been 8 months that I've been wrestling with God, and he finally won. Praise God. So he is God. And I just want to say that I am not just coming to you with words. I'm going to share today some of the incredible ways that God has changed me and that he has healed wounds in my own soul, man. And I have seen miraculous things take place even in the last few months. Now, I've been saved since I was 7 years old. But I want to tell you that God is a God of making all things new. He continually, if we follow him, there are new mercies every morning. There are new victories for you to come into every day. There is new revelation into his word. His word is unlimited. And I believe that some of the things that I'm going to talk to you about today might perhaps open a door in your thinking and in the revelation that you have, and you will begin to have that aha moment. That's why I've not been able to get the victory. That's why I've not been able to see more victory in this particular area of my thinking, of my acting, of my emotions. And God is committed to you and to me. He's committed to continually working on our behalf, progressively doing things in our lives until that day we stand before him in heaven. Romans 12:2 talks about this process, and it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you." Have you ever asked God, what's the will of God for my life? Lord, will you show me what you want me to do? Why am I on this planet? Why did you create me? What do you want me to be when I grow up? Have you ever asked that? You know, I'm still asking that at times, because I believe too that there are seasons that God wants to open up new doors and new venues in your life. And there's times when you will begin to step into the very purposes that God has created you for. You know, there has been times when I, well into my middle age years, have stepped into some things that I know that God had purposed for me all along, but I was only able to do it as I became progressively transformed by the renewing of my mind and by healing of different wounds in my soul area. And so as we allow the Holy Spirit's power to come into that soulish realm, our thoughts, our emotions, our will, as we allow him to do that and to bring healing, we become progressively more acquainted with what he's called us to begin with, why he put you here, what special gifts and anointings and talents he has put within you. Do you know that he crafted you exactly the way you are for a purpose? Your gift mix is exactly what he needs right now. There is no one on this planet that can do what you are called to do. Only you can rise up and take what he has for you and apprehend it. But I'll tell you one thing, the enemy would like to stop you, and he would like to wound you, and he would like to say that you will not be able to do all that God called you for. And I'm here to say that he's wrong. We're going to prove him wrong today. There is not going to be one good thing, one bad thing, one anything that the devil's going to be able to throw at you that will stop you from apprehending the plan of God as you allow and as I allow the Holy Spirit's power to come in and heal me and heal you of every wound. Why do our souls need healing? Why do we need, you know, you have to just look at our society today. Have you ever seen, and just the headlines that we read, you know, I shake my head at some of the headlines. It would be just, you know, ludicrous, even for someone 50 years ago, to read the headlines that we see today, and yet it's like life is normal. We see drug addictions. We see so much going on with our teenagers, people cutting themselves. Headlines are full of people that have taken their own lives, and many of these people are celebrities, and you would look at them and you think, well, that person has everything in the natural way of looking at it. They have every success, they have acclaim, they have money, but yet they are so depressed and so desperate that they take their own lives. And if there's ever a need for the people of God to rise up and blaze a pathway of healing in our own wounded souls, then it's today. And I want to tell you, I have a vision of a whole church full rising up to allow God to do the work inside so that we can then go out and pull other people out of the fire. In Jesus' mighty name. So, you know, what can cause our souls to be wounded? There's three things that I'm going to talk to you about that can cause our souls to be wounded. And the first one is sin. It's pretty obvious. Sin, ones that we commit and ones that are committed against us. My husband talked last week about the tongue being set on fire and how words can really hurt us and wound us and take root inside us. Proverbs 26:22 says, "Gossip is so delicious and how we love to swallow it, for slander is easily absorbed into our innermost being." Our words don't only hurt the people that we talk about. You know, we've been guilty, all of us have at some point or another, of criticizing others and judging others with our words. And you know what? It doesn't just hurt them. It wounds us. It wounds our soul. You see, when sin comes in and sin is committed, whether it's something that we do or something that's committed against us, it takes root in our souls and it causes a wound and a festering. And that wound and festering will attract the enemy. One of the names of the devil is Beelzebub, which is Lord of the Flies. And if you've ever thought or wondered why, if you have an open wound, why flies are attracted to that, it's the same principle. In other words, if you have a wound or if I have a wound in my soul that is there because of sin, the enemy will be tempted to come against us and exploit that and dig in deeper and make it worse. And he will do that. But I'll tell you what, we are not ignorant of his devices. And today I want to tell you that the Lord has already made every provision for you to be healed, body, soul, and spirit. He shed his blood when he was on the cross and he cried out with a triumphant cry, "It is finished." He wasn't just saying, "My life is over. I did what I'm supposed to do." When he said "it is finished," he was saying every provision has now been made for every person that will ever walk this earth. I have done everything that I came to do so that you can walk in salvation, in healing, in everything that God has for you. And healing for your soul is one of the things that God made provision for you and for me on the cross. He restores my soul. He makes a way. But soul wounds can come about because of sin. Another thing that can come into our lives that will hurt our souls is trauma. Trauma. And you know, I'm not trying to make light of things, but there are people in this room that have lived through unspeakable trauma. There are people that have had just terrible things that have happened to you. And I want to tell you today that the Lord sees you in his mercy and his compassion, and he is here to heal some of those wounds that come against us because of trauma. Do you remember the story of Job? When Job was actually serving God, he was doing everything right. And the Bible tells us in one day, and this was a very bad day, he lost everything. He lost his oxen, he lost his donkeys, he lost his servants, he lost his camels, and worst of all, he lost his children, all of them. And then he was struck with boils from head to toe. That was a very bad day. And what he said gives us a clue into how trauma affects our soul. He said, "My soul loathes my life. I will give free course to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul." And many of us have gone through loss. We've gone through heartache. We've gone through terrible things that have happened. And you know, I know that some of us have already experienced a degree of healing, but I believe that there's things that God wants to do for you and for me so you can be free from the trauma and the soul wounds that come in your life just because of something terrible that happened to you through no fault of your own. Many times these things happened when we were innocent children, and things would come against us and abuse would come and different things were said. And so we have always carried those wounds in our soul. And I want to tell you the good news. The good news is that Jesus died on the cross so that your soul could be completely whole, that your soul could be completely healed, so your soul could be totally restored. When David said, "He restores my soul," you see, David knew a little bit about soul wounds. sins. David committed some sins that caused him to be absolutely broken. And not only did he commit sins, but he saw his own son pass away. And he knew that he was in desperate need of crying out to God for some soul restoration. And he said, "He restores my soul." Let me tell you that my God and your God is so powerful that his restoration power is here today. It does not matter what kind of trauma the enemy has thrown against you. It doesn't matter what you have gone through in the past. His power is well able to heal your soul and to restore it into a way that you would not even believe was possible. He restores my soul. The third thing that causes soul wounds is generational iniquities. Generational sins that have not been repented of. I know that in a room this size, it's probably safe to say that a lot of us had ancestors that were not always following the Lord. Ancestors that didn't know better, that committed sin. And you know what? When you go to a doctor in the natural, what will they ask you? They'll ask you things like, do you have any heart disease in your family? Do you have any cancer in this? Do you have any incidences of stroke? They know that it's very, very, very proven that different things come through your bloodline in the natural. Different physical attributes. You know, my hair is not black now, but my hair is naturally black because I have ancestors that are Cherokee Indian. And so many times we think, well, you know, natural things come down, but we are not so quick to recognize that spiritual realities can also come down through the bloodline. God explained that to the children of Israel when he talked about unrepented sin, and he said, I will visit the iniquities of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those that are called. And so we see that not only can physical things come down, you know, maybe you look like your dad or you look like your grandma, or you're the spitting image of someone in your family. Many times those spiritual things can travel through the bloodline. Now, I'm not a scientist, and so I don't know what they're going to see if they look at like a DNA cell under a microscope, but I will tell you that spiritual things are very real, even if we cannot see them. They pass through, and many times there are families. You just look at families. You know, I've heard it said, well, you know, my dad was an alcoholic. My grandfather was an alcoholic. I just can't seem to win because I'm fighting that same enemy. Do you know that there are things that actually pass down through the bloodline? And that's the wounds that come from sin. And so as it comes down, you are going to experience, you know, this really explains so much for me. It was like my eyes were opened because, and I'll just be very honest with you, you know, I was saved at 7. I have been saved a long time. And yet there were certain patterns that I could not seem to break free from. And I'm talking about things in my mind, my emotions, my way of thinking. And I couldn't understand it. I thought, you know, why? Because I have been saved. I've been brought up in a Christian home. My father and mother were amazing parents. I was not abused. I was not rejected. Yet I'll tell you what, I fit every profile of someone that had been rejected, even sexually abused and physically abused. When I filled out profiles, I fit that. And I could never understand why, because I just wasn't raised that way. And I'll tell you what, God has opened a door into my understanding of these things. And I realize that this type of thing can go back to your ancestors. I'm thinking back to my maternal grandma who was an orphan and who was not living for the Lord. And some of the rejection that she experienced that I believe now had probably passed. And those wounds were things that I carried until the blood of Jesus came and healed me of all those rejections. And I'll tell you what, but you can't be healed of something if you don't know that you need to ask for it. You can't be healed. You know, if we sometimes get lulled into thinking, well, my family was that way. I'm just that way. My dad was that way. My grandpa was that way. I just have to live just who I am. And I'll tell you what, wrong. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. He is here to make a way where there seems to be no way. And some of those patterns, those bewildering patterns, you know, bents that we think, you know, why do they act that way? Why is that family always caught up in this? My husband has told stories about different ones from his hometown, and he had opportunity to see, because he lived in the same hometown for all his life. I was not. I moved just like the military families do. I can really understand what you all go through. But he would see certain families, and he would say, you know, there was one particular family when I think three or four young people were killed very violently in traffic accidents before they were 20. And it just kept happening over and over and over. And that's the result, I can say confidently, of iniquity, of soul wounds being passed down through the DNA. And I'll tell you what, though, there is a Savior that is greater than any DNA. There is a Savior that shed his blood for you and me so that we could become completely restored. And I want to tell you what, it doesn't matter if your ancestors were not Christians. You can rise up today and you can say, I'm going to be the first, and I'm going to be a light in my generation, and I'm going to stand and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to see all that generational iniquity washed by the blood of Jesus, never to affect my children, my grandchildren. You see, God is a family God. The Bible always says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When he looks at you, he doesn't just see you. He sees your whole family line. He puts you in the right family so that you could be a light, and so that you could stand, and that you could see the blood of Jesus washing clean even family things that have gone back. You see, the blood of Jesus is eternal. That means it's without limitations. So the blood of Jesus, as we stand in the gap and even repent for the sins and the things that were passed on by our ancestors, the blood can go back there. It's absolutely eternal. It's not just for what happened today. Jesus's blood was shed, and his work on the cross was eternal. And so I'm just saying that there is a degree of freedom that I believe you are going to be amazed at as you begin to cry out to God to heal you, to take those woundings that some of them, you know, weren't even your fault. It came down through your family line, but you can still apply the blood to that, and you can watch the effects of that go so far from you. The Bible says, I will remove your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. And we can apply the blood of Jesus to that, and we can see it flee from us. And then our family begins to take on a different tone. The children and grandchildren and people that come after us begin to live different. We set the standards. We set it. And we don't agree to live like our ancestors have lived. And so generational iniquities are really something that we need to know about. The Bible tells us that his people perish for lack of knowledge. And these are some of the things that if we don't know and understand, then we are not going to apprehend everything that God has for us. Psalm 51:5 says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. We were brought forth, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news is the cross. The cross. The cross is eternal. Jesus doesn't just forgive our sins, but as we repent, even for the things that happened before us, he forgives us of that and removes all the effects of that and heals us from every soul wound that has come into our life. And that's good news. And I think you should give a shout of thanksgiving to our God, the King, because he made a way. He made provision for you. He made provision for me. And before you leave here today, he can do even more. I'm so excited about this. All right, you say, well, how do I know if I have a soul wound? Let me give you a few manifestations. One is some physical sicknesses can be because of a soul wound, because we've opened the door. In Acts 3:1-2, it says, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask all of them that entered the temple. And we know that Peter and John took them by the hand and said, walk in the name of Jesus. And the next day, when the leaders were asking, well, what authority do you have to heal this man? And he used the word that this man that was impotent from his mother's womb, and that simply means he had no strength of soul. His soul was wounded. His soul opened the door for the physical thing that he was dealing with to happen. But because God came onto the scene, not only was his soul wound healed, but his body wound was healed, and he began to walk and dance and praise the Lord. So many times, some certain physical maladies are just because of a soul wound that's rooted in our soul. We've opened the door. And I just want to say that today, as we deal with those, it's like, in effect, you're going to slam the door shut to the devil. If there's been a certain area in your family line or even in your life that you see the enemy has tried to torment you over and over and over again, then we are going to take authority and we are going to repent, and then we're going to ask the healing of God to come. And it's like you're going to slam the door shut and say, enemy, you will not come in and torment me in this area anymore. There's certain physical maladies that you're just going to find that are disappearing from your life as you see the Lord heal your soul. Let me just give you a testimony from my own life. I began to pray this way really at the end of last year. And I wanted to do it for several months because I wanted to have a testimony. I wanted to see what God would do for me. Now, like I told you, I've been saved since I was 7. So it's not like I didn't know the Lord. But I want to tell you something. There were certain infections that I seemed, and the doctor would say, you're just predisposed to these infections. And I would get them over and over and over and over again. And it seemed like I would be on one round of antibiotic after the other. And I was getting so discouraged because I thought, I don't want to be on antibiotics my whole life. And this is to the glory of God, as I began to deal with different soul wounds in my life, different things that the Lord would bring light to, I can tell you that I have not had that type of infection for 6 months, which to you might not sound like a big deal, but to me, to someone that was constantly on antibiotics, it's a miracle. And the only thing that I did differently was I began to pray and ask the Lord to heal me of soul wounds. Let me just say right from the get-go that I believe that there are certain physical things that you're going to get free from just by praying for healing in your soul. Amen. Jesus made a way. He made provision. There are certain roots of sicknesses that go back to our wounding of the souls. I'm not saying everyone, but some of them are. The other thing that happens, if you might know that you have a soul wound, is lack of peace. You know, our society is constantly looking for peace. If I would say one of the prevailing problems today is that people have no peace. People don't know. Their emotions, their mental state is chaotic, and they don't know where to turn to. You know, we see here at the church office people that come in desperate because they don't know what to do to get peace of mind, to be able to lie down at night and sleep and be peaceful and wake up the next morning and not deal with the clatter and the chatter in your mind. And if you've ever had to deal with that, you know what I'm talking about. And some of those things come because we are wounded in our soul. And I want to tell you that God is here to bring you complete peace, to restore your soul, to bring you back into a place of peace, of joy, not of anxiety, not of fear, but of peace, and knowing that He is a good God and that He has good things for you. The Bible tells us that as we think in our hearts, so we are. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And so many times, what's in your soul is going to determine who you are. You know, if you have a soul wound that causes you to be anxious, then you're going to walk in that fear all the time. If you have a soul wound that results in you being angry all the time, then you're going to walk in that room. You're going to find yourself coming out with words of anger or words of fear. And those things, as the abundant of the heart has, the mouth speaks. You're going to find those things. And many times you will find that it's difficult to receive the answers of prayer that you've asked for because you are still listening to those voices in your soul. And I want to tell you that today the chatter of the enemy stops. Today the chatter stops. Today those lying voices, sometimes things that you have listened to your entire life that you just thought you had to live with, it stops. I'm here to say there's good news for you. That chatter stops. Your soul can be healed, and you will go out of here light as a feather. It's so important that we receive healing for our soul. 3 John 1:2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." You see, as your soul prospers, it opens the door for every other area of your life to prosper. And so then you turn it around. If your soul is not prospering, then there's some areas of your life that I can guarantee you that probably aren't prospering either. And so we need to come into an excellent soul, a prosperous soul. How many of you know that soul wounds can be responsible for relationship problems? I can just tell you right now that hurting people will hurt people. When you are hurt, you will turn on even people that you love, and you will hurt them. There's a story in the Old Testament, and I've never seen what I've seen now about it. And I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel 30. This is the story. You've probably heard it preached even many times. I've preached about it. It was about David at Ziklag. But there's one sentence that I want to bring out that it will highlight some things to you that I believe will come in a new way. This is 1 Samuel 30, verse 1 through 6. "Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They didn't kill anyone, but they carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him." And here's the verse, the line I want you to see. "Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord." So let me just paint the picture for you here. You see, these men had come to David for help. They looked at him as their great leader. They were discontent, they were in debt, and they were distressed. But they came to David because they knew that he was a man, a warrior, a man after God's own heart that would take them to victory. And they honored and revered him. And let me just tell you this. They knew that David was not responsible for their wives being stolen. They knew that it was the Amalekites. But what does the Bible say that they do? They were so upset, they spoke about stoning David. They turned all of their bitterness, all of their hurt, all of their distress onto the very person that had the key to their healing. The very person, the only person that could deliver them. So they were talking about, "David, we're going to kill you." And David had done nothing wrong. He was hurting just like they were. And so let me just ask you this. How many times have we in our hurt and in our distress turned against the very people that God tried to place in our life to bring blessing to us? How many times have we been guilty of wounding other people that are maybe praying for us or living their lives to bless us, and yet we turn because of bitterness and woundedness, and we turn against them? I'll tell you what, hurting people hurt people. And so it's so imperative that we get our souls healed so that we don't hurt the very people that God's trying to give us to walk with. There's people in my life and your life that I'm probably pretty sure that I have hurt, and it wasn't God's intent. I was lashing out of my own woundedness and out of my own fears and out of my own hurt. So may God heal our souls today so that we can see relationships restored. You see it across every sphere in marriages, with mothers and fathers and children. You see it. You know, think of Joseph's brothers. Do you remember how they tried to have him killed? Yet he was the one that God had placed in their lives to be a deliverer. They were trying to kill off their only salvation. And many times, and if you don't remember anything from this message, remember this, that hurting people hurt people. And so we need to be healed of our hurts and our wounds so that we don't turn and lash out against the very people that God has put in our lives to walk with us. If they would have killed David, they would have killed the solution, the answer to their problem. praise God that they didn't. Praise God. Soul wounds, and I'm not going to get into this very deeply, but soul wounds can also be at the root of financial failure. That same verse that we just read, in all things prosper as your soul prospers, that word talks about financial prosperity and business prosperity. And so you just see that all across the board, we need healing for our souls. We need healing for our emotions. We need healing for our wills. We need healing for our thoughts. The Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, the Lord says. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And we need healing to come into those very areas so we can think his thoughts. So you say, well, what can I do if I'm wounded? How am I going to react? I'm glad you ask. We have weapons, mighty weapons, that are not carnal, but they will pull down the strongholds. And the first weapon I'm going to talk to you about is the finished work of the cross. What Jesus did when he hung on the cross. You see, you don't have to work for your salvation. He already did it for you. You receive it by grace. Many of the things in God, you have to know that are there, and you begin to walk in them because you know they are available for you. It's not that you have to work. There's a terrible story. We're getting ready to go on a cruise next week for my husband's birthday and for our anniversary. And so I listened to this story. I don't even know if it's true, but it's a good story. There's a terrible story about a couple that had no money to go on this cruise, but they saved every penny that they had, and they were able just to scrape up the money for the cruise tickets. And so they spoke to each other before they went, and they said, you know what? We don't have one extra penny to spare. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take granola bars and crackers, and we're going to take nuts, and we'll sit in our room. We won't go down to the dining room and eat, because we've heard that there's huge banquets on cruises, but we won't do that because we've not been able to save the money. And so they went through the entire week of their cruise, and then they found, I know it's terrible, isn't it? It's making me just heartbroken thinking about it, and my mouth is watering. But they found out the last day, did you not know that was included in the price of your ticket? You see, they sat the entire week in their stateroom eating nothing but granola and crackers when they could have been down at the banqueting table eating their fill, eating what was theirs, what had already been paid for. And you see, so many times as Christians, the work on the cross has already been done. Jesus has already paid the price. You don't have to pay it over and over and over again. You just have to take hold of what has already been done for you. You have to be aware and apprehend. When I was a junior in college, I was a poor college student, and I went back to college, and I did not know that I had received scholarships. All I knew was I didn't have the money for it. And so I was cowering in the back of the line. I didn't even want to go through the line. I thought, they're going to send me home. I don't have the money to pay for my bill. But something, I was praying. I just went forward, and when I got to the end of the line, I found out that I had actually been awarded several scholarships that took care of my bill in full, except for 19 cents. And I did have a quarter in my pocket that I pulled out and paid my tuition with. But I'll tell you what, if I had known that my bill had been paid for, my posture would have been entirely different. I would not have been cowering at the end of the line. I'd have been dancing. I'd have been the first one to get up there because my bill had been paid, because I didn't have to be ashamed and embarrassed because of what I didn't have, because I had already been paid for. And that's exactly what I want you to grasp today. The finished work on the cross, his work has been done. And so we need to meditate and really step into, you know, he took stripes on his body for our healing. He's the lover of our soul. Even our wounded, broken souls, he's the lover of our soul. Every promise in him is yes and amen. He came to set the captives free. Those things that he accomplished have already been done for us, and we need to step into it. And don't find yourself in the place where that poor couple on the cruise was, back in the room, not eating what had been already prepared for them. Let's take advantage of the banqueting table that has been set for us. The second thing is the precious blood of Jesus. The blood is incredible, but Malachi said it's like fuller soap. It will wash you white as snow. It's better than taking a 30-minute hot shower. The blood of Jesus will wash us clean and remove our shame and our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. All we have to do is bring that to him. You know, I've been talking about generational iniquities. It's very, very simple, because the blood of Jesus is eternal. We can just go to him and say, Lord, I'm seeing some disturbing patterns in my family. I'm seeing things that should not be there. And so I'm bringing, because of the power of your blood, I'm bringing those things and asking you to wash my family line clean. Wash us with your blood so that from this point on, we can see the victory that you died for us to have. The blood of Jesus is powerful. The blood of Jesus can go back through history and wash every last effect of sin from our lives. 1 John 1:9 says, "But if we freely admit our sins when his light uncovers them, he will be faithful to forgive us every time." And let me just say this. Don't be paranoid about looking and, oh, what sin is it, God? You know, what sin? My Bible tells me that his light will uncover it. And if we confess our sins, when his light uncovers it, he is so faithful to forgive and bring cleansing every single time. You know, we see all through the Bible, many times people would repent. And there's a biblical precedent of people repenting for things they didn't do. Do you remember when Moses came down from the mountain and saw the gold calf? The people had erected, they had put it there. He didn't do it. His response was to say, "Oh God, forgive them for what they did. Forgive them those sins." In fact, Moses took it even a step further and he said, "Lord, if you won't forgive them, then blot my name from the book of life." You know, I can't even fathom the great love that caused him to pray for those people that way. But you saw that God began to deal with, and God said, "Okay, I'm not going to kill them. I'm going to let them go into the promised land," because of Moses' intercession. There's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful account of when Stephen was drawing his last breath, when he was being martyred, when he was being stoned. And Stephen said, and he prayed to God, and he said, "Oh God, don't hold these sins against them." And the Bible tells us that there was a young man there at the time of his stoning, which was Saul of Tarsus. And it wasn't too long after that that Saul had his Damascus Road experience and became totally transformed by the power of God. You know, I don't know, I can't prove it, but I wonder if maybe the power of Stephen's intercession and repentance for God opened up a way for Saul to come and know Jesus. And how many times will God allow us to stand in the gap and pray for people that have done things that we had nothing to do with, and he will use us in ways that we have yet to even see because of our sensitivity to the Spirit. But the blood of Jesus is just that powerful. It cleanses from every sin. And then the final weapon that we have is the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you are saved and if you have come to know Jesus, then it's like you have a full tank of dynamite inside. You know, have you ever tried to drive your car? I've done it before with no gas. You don't get very far. But I'll tell you what, if you are saved today in your spirit, you have a tank full of dynamite gas that will take you places that you never even dreamed, but you need to know the power of what you have. You know, many times we don't act or we don't posture ourselves as someone that has that much power, because the Bible says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Paul, when he cried out to God, he said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. He was talking about the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit, that I might know him. And that's not only just power for performing miracles, but it's the power to see your soul healed. I'll tell you what, the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit is available to you and to me to see every wound in our soul healed and set free in Jesus' name. We can pray. We can say, "Lord, I know that I have the power of the Spirit in my spirit man. Now, Lord, I'm asking that that power, that dynamite power, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, be released to go into every area of my soul life, every wound that came from sin, every wound that came from trauma, every wound that came down through the bloodline. I ask, Lord, that your dynamite power would go into my mind and heal every thought that is not in agreement with the Word of God, that would heal every thought pattern and every attitude and every judgment that I have made. Lord, let your dynamite power do it." You see, if you can believe, you can receive. If you know the dynamite power, the same power, the Bible says, that raised Jesus out from the grave, then you can have what you pray for in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, it's powerful, 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 powerful. Jesus said, as he was getting ready to the cross, he said, the ruler of this world has come, but he has nothing in me. Jesus, that was Jesus, our sinless, perfect Jesus. If we were honest, we would admit that sometimes if the ruler of the world came, he would find something in us that was in agreement, a thought maybe, a pattern. But the good news is that we can shut that door. We can apply the blood of Jesus. We can take the power that's already in your spirit and loose that to all those areas. And you can rise up and you can see victory. I told you I'd share a little bit about what's been happening in my life since I began praying and living this message that I'm preaching. I've been actually living it first. I told you I've been healed from certain infections that I used to get on just about a monthly basis. Several months I've not had that. But I'll tell you something else has happened. And my husband and I are still shaking our heads in awe. There were a couple of relationships. Anybody here, or is it just us, that had difficult relationships with some people in your life? The rest of you are lying. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But this wasn't just any difficulty. These were long-term difficulties. I'm talking about misunderstandings that had gone back maybe more than 20, 25 years plus, and we had done all that we knew to do. We had prayed, we had, you know, finally just got to the place where if we were honest, we really had no more hope for those relationships. We just kind of, shook our head and said, well, Lord, you know, these bones can live, but only you know. Let me tell you that in this year of restoration, there has come a complete and total turnaround. If you had told me that those people would be coming to us, giving us gifts, turn totally around. There is nothing that can explain that except the power of the restoration of the mighty power of God. And I want to tell you that some of the fruit that you will see as you ask the Lord to heal your soul is healing of your relationships. There, and I just feel prophetically as I'm declaring this, there are some family relationships here that are going to be really affected by this principle. That as you ask God to heal your souls, you're going to see some family dynamics change. You are going to see some reconciliation spring forth, and you, like us, will be shaking your heads and thinking, I wouldn't have believed it until I saw it with my own eyes. But the fruit will be proved out as you obey God in this area, in Jesus' name. And then finally, one thing that I've seen that I have no explanation for except the power of God is that God has expanded my capacity to do certain things. What used to stress me out incredibly no longer stresses me out. I can't explain it except that God has done a great healing in my soul area. When my husband went through his detached retina, and all of a sudden there were other things that I had to begin taking responsibility for. That man does a lot, by the way. I'll just tell you, he's not here, but he is an incredible worker and busy bee for the kingdom of God. Yes, he is. As I even began to take over a few of his responsibilities, oh my goodness. And I'll tell you what, in the past that would have stressed me out, but I found a new joy and a new capacity and a new passion for the things of God. And I believe it's directly related to this principle that I'm sharing today. He restores my soul. He restores your soul. It is your year of restoration. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, in a crowd this size, there might very possibly be people that have never received Jesus, that have never accepted the sacrifice that he made on the cross of Calvary, that never stood and asked him to forgive them of their sins. And if that's you, then today is the best day of your life because you're going to have an opportunity to come forward and receive Jesus in all of his power. And so as the church is praying and as we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm just going to give you the opportunity. If you have never received the Lord as your personal Savior, if you've never had that dynamite power that we've been talking about come in and transform you in your spirit man, or if you once knew Jesus but have backslidden, then today is your day. And if that's you, I want you just to slip your hand up toward heaven. We're going to pray for you. We're going to believe God with you. God is going to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. In Jesus' mighty name, I see a hand there in the back. Usually if there's one hand, there's more than one person. So one brave hand has already raised their hand. I'm going to give you a couple more seconds. If you don't know Jesus in the power of his resurrection, or if you once knew him, but slid back, then today is your day to return to him in Jesus' mighty name. Praise God and praise God and praise God. Praise the name of Jesus. 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 Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit's power. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit's power to convict us of sin, of the Holy Spirit's power to convict us in Jesus' name. You know, I'm going to ask, I know that there's at least one person that raised their hand. I'm going to ask you to come in Jesus' mighty name, and we're going to rejoice with you as you come to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
So, are you coming to the Lord for the first time? No? Okay. So you're coming back to the Lord. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray with you, and then one of our ushers is going to take you. We've got some materials for you, some next steps to get you back plugged in and kind of get your relationship on track with the Lord. And we're going to ask the church to join you in prayer so you're not alone. But what matters is you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And you believe unto salvation, and confession is made unto righteousness. So we want to confess the Lord Jesus, and we want to live from this day forward for him. Amen. Okay. Church, you want to pray with us? Yeah. Amen. And now listen, if you didn't come up here, the devil wants you where you are, but that doesn't matter because Jesus is able to save you right in your chair. So when we pray, if you pray this for the first time, then come on up after the service, because we want to give you the same steps, the same help that we're going to give this young man right here as he prays this prayer and continues his relationship with Jesus. Amen. So let's pray together, and you can close your eyes and just focus on the Lord, because it's really about you and him. It's not about the church. It's not about the people. It's about your heart and your soul with the Lord right now. So just pray this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you today, and I turn from my sin, and I believe in Jesus, that he's my hope, he's my salvation. And so, Lord, I come to you asking you to forgive me and for you to save me. Deliver me from evil. Help me to walk in holiness and serve you all of my days. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your power. I receive the grace that I need to make good on my commitment. Thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. I give you the praise in Jesus' name. And church, let's celebrate with this young man today.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm well aware that it's warm in here. My Minnesota husband would be complaining. But I believe that we still have some prayers to pray. And I'm going to ask the praise team if you would come and take your places on the platform. We're going to do a little business with the Lord. Let me just, I can't preach a message like this and not give you an opportunity to pray through in some of these areas that we're talking about. So I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I just want to ask if you can relate to some of what we were sharing today, and if you say, you know what, I believe that I see there's a wound in my soul that the enemy is taking advantage of, and you want to pray and apply the powerful weapons of your warfare, the blood of Jesus, then I just want to ask you to slip out and come and stand all across the front, because I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit and the power of God is here, available to do business, and I know some of you are ready and just want to do that and see things change in your life and in your heart. You know, there's more room. You can stretch out all across, and if we don't have enough room, you can line the aisles. But we're going to pray together Pastor Mason, I'm going to ask you to come as well. And we're going to do some business with the Holy Spirit and with the Father and with the Son, who has already made a way, already made provision. You can keep coming. The Lord sees each one as you come. He's not looking at you as some big corporate group. When he looks out, he sees each one. And he is here to heal every wound in your soul. In Jesus' mighty name, bow your heads if you would. And we're going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Father, for each person here. Lord, I ask you, Father, right now, by the power of your precious Holy Spirit, would you make real the words, Lord, that you want each one to hear? Lord, would you show and highlight, Lord, areas of their soul that you are ready and willing to heal? Areas, Lord, that maybe have been come about because of sin or trauma or even through their bloodline. Father, we thank you that you have made a way, and it can stop here and stop now. And we can see the fruit of those bad things being gone from our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Now I want you to pray with me and say, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your finished work on the cross. I thank you for your blood. I thank you for the powerful blood. I thank you for the dunamis power of the Spirit. And now, Lord, I use these weapons. I bring every unhealed area of my soul. I ask you to forgive any sin in my bloodline. Wash us clean with your blood. And now, Lord, we release the dunamis power to go to every unhealed area of my soul. Every wrong thinking pattern, every wrong attitude, every wrong relationship problem, and heal my soul, restore my soul. Lord, let me live in the abundant life. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name, praise God and praise God. And